Welcome to David and Jeff's Survivor Podcast. I'm David, and with me, as always, is...
Jeff.
What is going on?
I'm good. How are you, David?
Boy, I ask you a different question, switch it up, and you give the same response.
How do I... Oh, I always do give the same response, but that's okay. I'm always good. I'm just a happy guy.
There you go. All right. I think the consensus is this is probably the weakest episode of the season so far, but still enjoyable. I thought it was a good episode, but I do agree that not quite as great as it is in the one.
Yeah, I agree. I also have to point out the fact, like, I think it's I think that they're doing a good job of surprising the audience this year. You know, it used to be that they would give us so much information and show us every step of the plan, when now and then it would be obvious who was going home. But I think they're doing a really good job of making sure the audience is a little bit on edge this season. We had no idea, I don't think, going into Tribal Council if it was going to be Moret or Bonham going home. And they're showing us just enough so that way we can justify the decision in our heads, but we don't need to see every point of the decision-making. And I really like that. And so even with this episode, I thought they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, the only thing that is they're giving us too information is the dumb promos that they show before the season.
Yeah, aren't they long? I'm not crazy. Those things are long, aren't they? The previously on Survivors?
Oh, I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about the ads that they run on TV to promote the next episode.
That's true, too.
It's like this week's leading up to it was, there's going to be a blindside. So obviously you knew it wasn't, you know, Laura B. going home because that wouldn't have been a blindside.
See, I don't watch any of the, I don't watch most of the promos just because I don't watch TV live. I always watch it later. So it was a blindside to me.
Yeah, that's good. I think that if I wasn't exposed to those, I would probably actually enjoy this episode a lot better. But it's sort of like, thank you. Now I can eliminate certain people who it's not going to be.
Well, I mean, last week they did it really, but the one promo I did see of last week was like, that was the biggest power shift in Survivor history. It's like, well,
yeah.
How else could this possibly happen? But, yeah. It's still enjoyable.
Good episode. We're going to be talking with two fans of the show, just like us, and we've had them on the podcast before. We've had one on several times. Stephanie Katz is going to be back, and we're also going to have Chad Kincaid. He's going to be back on the podcast with us, and we are going to be doing some Survivor debates, going against each other, talking for or against certain things about this episode. Stay tuned for that. Before we do that, though, we're going to move on to our segments. But a quick note, there is no top five this week. I know you're sad, Jeff. It's okay.
I'm so sad.
We're going to be doing a game with Chad and Stephanie afterwards. We'll still have a segment. It's just going to be at the end instead of right now. But we still have another thing to get to, Jeff.
Absolutely. We have our high lows for the week, David. And this week, it was a tough competition. You chose for your high pick, you chose Jervis, never nervous. Although sometimes maybe a little bit nervous, Peterson. Remember, with the high pick, you get 3 points up to. You get a point if he wasn't voted off. You get a point if his team won the challenge. And you get a point if he has more than 3 confessionals. So this week, you only got 1 point for Jervis, which is tied for me. I also got 1 point for Tyson. Obviously, they both lost the challenge, and neither of them had 3 confessionals, but they were both not voted off, so that's a point each. For the low picks, remember you get a point if you are voted off. You get a point if that person is voted off. You get a point if that person loses the challenge, and you get a point if that person has less than 2 confessionals. You chose Katie this week. She did not have 2 confessionals, so you got a point for that. I had Kat. Kat not only did not get 2 confessionals, but she also lost the challenge as well. So I got 3 points this week total, and you only got 2, which brings our total scores 12-10. David, you're still leading, but I'm starting to close the gap.
Yeah, anyone's game. We're only 5 episodes in. A lot more Survivor to go.
Absolutely.
So, I think I choose the high for this week.
You choose the high.
Alright. This is rough, because in the next time on, it sort of shows that a swap of some sort is probably coming. Which means it's going to be very hard to predict who's going to win immunity or anything like that. So I'm going to just go for who I think is safe in any situation, and who I think potentially could get quite a few confessionals. And that is, he seems to be one of our favorites, so I'm going to go with Tyson.
Yeah. That would have been my pick as well, David. I just think he's such a solid pick. For my pick, I struggle. It's difficult to choose. You never know who's going to get confessionals or not. But I am going to go with Sierra. I choose her because I think she's not terrible in challenges. She's obviously not good at the puzzles, but I don't think she's terrible in challenges in the physical side. But also, she, her mom just got voted out, so I think we'll probably see a couple of confessionals from her.
Very true. That's a good one. And you pick for low.
I do pick for low, and this is another one where I struggle, just because with the tribe swap, you never know what's going to happen, you never know who's not going to get confessionals. But the consistently low confessional person for this season has been Kat, so I think I'm going to stick with her. So yeah, I choose Kat for my low pick.
Alright. I, in fact, am going to choose Katie. I think anyone who still has a loved one in the game is vulnerable at this point, because with a switch or without a switch, I think the consensus is we need to get rid of the people who are pairs still. That being said, Katie probably won't get a lot of confessionals, and I do think she's actually vulnerable to be voted off if she the tribe swap ends up unfavorably for her. So I'm going to go with Katie.
I think that's a good pick.
So, there are our picks. We'd love to hear what you guys think. Who do you predict is going to be doing really well next episode, and who's not going to be doing well at all? Leave us a message on our Facebook group, with David and Jeff Survivor Podcast. Join the group. We'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions. And so, come on and share it with us.
Absolutely. Well, David, should we get Stephanie and Chad on the line?
I think so. It's time to start our great debate.
Indeed. I'll play Denzel.
You'll play Denzel?
Yeah.
Okay, who should I be?
You can be, what's his name? The guy from the Scottish King, Forrest Whitaker. You can be him.
Ooh, Forrest Whitaker.
I have no idea. Does he have anything to do with the Scottish King? Didn't he play a king at one point?
Maybe. I can't say I'm the most knowledgeable about Forrest Whitaker's film career.
Well, you're just going to have to get on that. You're going to be playing him pretty soon.
Okay, sounds good. Well, all right, enough of this. Let's get him on the line.
Sounds good.
All right, we have two special guests back on the podcast with us. We have Stephanie Katz and Chad Kincaid. Welcome, guys.
Yo.
Hey.
Stephanie, I think you now may be tied for the most appearances on the podcast, most guest appearances.
Who am I tied with?
You're really close. JML.
Ew, no. I need to beat him.
We have to have you on more then. You were tied with Clayton, but I think now that you're on this one, you bumped him up one above him. So.
Oh, great, I can hold that over him now.
I think I was on my way to that record until David asked me to host.
And then you got eliminated from that potential death.
Although I've been on more than all of you, so.
Well, aren't you special?
I am, thank you.
Alright, well, we are going to be talking about Survivor Blood vs. Water Episode 5, but we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We are going to be holding some debates, talking about different topics from this past episode, and we're going to divide into two teams and state the cases. One side will be for and one side will be against, obviously. What will happen is you'll have one person on each team give the main talk, whether you're for or against, then you'll have the rebuttal by the other team, and then the other person will give sort of backup for the first guy, and then back to the other team. So all four of us will get an opinion in for everything. Even if you do not agree with whichever side you're on, do your best to fight for the one you're on. So, are you guys ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Alright, first one is a big one. Let's not bury the lead. Aris getting Laura M. out of the game. Is this good for Aris, or is this bad for Aris? Jeff and Chad, we'll let you choose first which side you would like to take.
Do you have a preference, Chad?
I'm a big Aris fan, so I'd say it's good, because Laura is a hell of a competitor. I mean, I like Laura, too, but I have to go with Aris. This is good for Aris on this one, so.
Okay. Well, then why don't you set up the case, Chad?
It was good for Aris because it was a game-changing move, because Laura's a big threat. She's likable. She's a hell of a competitor. She's great at challenges. She's awesome at puzzles. You know, sometimes you have to take a big dog down sometimes. But that's my case.
Stephanie?
Oh, do I have to do the argument?
Yeah, you're against.
It's bad, though, because Laura totally trusted him. And I feel like now if she comes back from Redemption Island, like, she's in Redemption Island, and I understand putting her there to get rid of Brad, and I understand wanting to keep Monica and have Monica to yourself, but Laura was another good asset. Laura's good in challenges. Laura could have benefited the tribe. Laura also could have benefited you because she would have trusted you, and she would have stayed with you, and she probably could have brought Sierra on to also trust you, and then you could have gotten rid of both of them whenever you wanted, because you probably would have beat them. So, I see no reason why he shouldn't have kept Laura in the game.
Jeff?
Just to kind of give a rebuttal and back up what my partner said earlier, first off, I'd like to say that I think I agree with my partner that getting out a threat in this game is really, really good. And I think we saw in the episode, Aris kind of articulated his reasons why it would have been potentially bad for him to keep Laura, to vote for Laura Bonham, because the safe vote isn't always the best vote in the game. I think Laura Bonham at this point is just so enamored with the game that voting her out would have been a bad decision, which leads me to thinking, who do you vote out? You have Laura M, who, while I agree, she seems loyal to Aris, you also have to remember that Laura M still has quite a few connections on the other side, and Jervis said in Tribal Council that Laura's so tied up with Sierra that while Laura was loyal to Aris, I think she was more loyal to her daughter, and thus keeping Laura Bonham, who has no connections, was a better decision over Laura Moret.
Alright, here's my rebuttal. Okay, first of all, Aris is one of the, I would say, one of the biggest threats right now in the game. He's really likable, he's really strong, he's really smart, and I think you have a lot of perceptive players on the season who realize that. So to make a bold move and sort of tell the tribe what to do and sort of convince them to go this route, I think it puts a bigger target on him, and as we even saw in the previews, that could get people to rub the wrong way and maybe want to try to take him down even this early on in the game. So I think it opens the door for people to recognize even more so what a big threat he is. But also, I would say Laura M. was loyal to Aris. We saw in confessional, she was saying, you know, he's the only one that I trust completely. We saw the wonderful massage. Obviously, Laura M. was a really big fan of Aris, and I think that any potential that she could have jumped over with her daughter, I think she would have included Aris in it. So I think if you have a vote like someone who's confident who you can trust, even if you don't have them, you know, as one of your final people to go with you, you can still keep them along a little longer than other people who are maybe more wild cards and can do anything once it comes switcher merge time. Any other thoughts or comments on either side?
Nope. I think we're good.
Yep. Yes, good.
All right. Moving on to the next topic, then. Monica burning the second idol clue. Is this a good move again, or is this a bad move for her to burn the idol clue again? Stephanie, what do we want?
Let's go with it being a bad move.
Okay. It is a bad move. You want to start or you want me to, Stephanie?
I'll start.
All right.
The first time last week, it was cute, whatever. She burned it. She made her point. This week, like, a hidden immunity idol is a big deal. It's a very important part of the game, and it gives you a lot of power. So even if she didn't want the idol, she could have helped one of her allies get the idol. She could have gotten the idol and then told everyone she had it, and then they get rid of it quick just to use, like, just that no one else can find it. At least if she had it, then no one else would have it, or she could have one of her allies have it. But burning the clue the second time, and especially when your husband is the one telling you to do so, just makes her look really bad. It's like she's not playing the game for herself at all. And that's kind of depressing.
Chad, do you want to start or should I?
You should start.
I 100% disagree with Stephanie. I think that after burning the clue the first time, it's going to now become an expectation that everyone will need to burn the clue. Otherwise, it seems as if either A, they're showing that they're trying to plan something, or B, they're showing insecurity in their alliance, and especially when you are part of the dominant alliance, as Monica is, showing any insecurity in your alliance can yield really bad results, as we've seen in 26 seasons previously of Survivor. And to the point that Brad told her to do it, I think it actually, after Brad told her to do it, she didn't really have a choice, because otherwise it seems as if she's, like, telling off her husband and saying, no, that's a bad idea. But after the idea is presented, I think that it would have been only a good idea to burn the clue, because it just seems like an obligation at this point.
Well, my thought is, at this point, she doesn't... this is my perspective. She's at a pretty good spot with her tribe. You know, nobody's really targeting her. And, you know, and as we've seen in the previous episodes, every time somebody has that hidden immunity clue, it's a target on their back. So I think that's a good move on that perspective.
All right, here's my rebuttal. If you read Dalton Ross's recaps, he came up with this theory that I think is pretty good. Take the clue, take it home back to your tribe, and when your whole tribe is there, say, listen, guys, I can either throw this in the fire here right now in front of everyone, or I can open it and we can find it as a tribe and use it in case there is a tribe switch or a merge or anything. That way, you're making everyone in the tribe feel included in this decision of whether or not to find the clue, and it's not putting a target on yourself, but including the whole group and giving yourself potentially a resource to use in the future to get your alliance farther in the game. So that's that.
I feel like the way you worded it, though, you weren't allowed to offer any counter proposals, David. This is a fact resolution, not a policy resolution, just saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saying that I think there are more options and a potentially much better resource if she would have kept the clue.
I agree. I think keeping the clue would have been better long term because it would have given you more trust within your allies rather than having the focus be all on you listening to your husband, which is the reason why Aris needs to get rid of Brad.
There you go. Alright, any other thoughts before we move on to topic number 3? Alright, we had the Loved Ones tribe, the Tadhana tribe, win their first challenge ever this season, and they chose as a reward to get steak over the fishing equipment. For or against, do you think this is a good move or a bad move? Jeff and Chad, you get to choose.
Chad, I think we should go for good move.
Since you're the debate master, I'll go ahead and go with it, even though I think it was a bad move, but we'll go for.
Fair. I suppose that means that I will set up the case. Okay, so I provide a couple of arguments. First, I think that tribe morale is very important. While getting fishing gear would increase the food that you may eat long term, I think that getting steak and spices will bring unity to the tribe, which presents a good move for everyone in that tribe, because if they want to have any chance in the game, their best chance is going to be sticking together as a strong five. The second argument that I present is the fact that they already have fishing gear, and we saw that last week when Brad was catching fish at the Tadhana camp. They already have a spear and they already have fish traps, and they've been eating fish this entire time. It's not like they're getting a fishing gear will start them eating fish. They've been eating the whole time. It's just more fishing gear for them.
Well, I saw a tweet from Vida saying they've been catching fish with a Hawaiian sling, so
yeah,
but that's that.
Alright, here's my rebuttal. Even if the case is that they're catching fish with the line sling, the fishing equipment, they can catch more fish, and get it longer in the game. That steak, while it's going to, you know, energize them and build up their morale, it's gonna do so that day, and by the next day they're gonna be hungry again. Get more fishing equipment to increase your chances and better percentage of catching fish and more fish. That way you can sustain it, and by the time the next challenge actually comes around, you'll have a much more increased daily protein intake.
But fish isn't real protein, David. Fish is practically a vegetable.
Yeah, okay.
Steak is real protein.
Yeah, okay. Anything to add, Stephanie?
No.
All right.
Sorry, I didn't hear our argument.
I said it's better to get the fishing equipment to increase your odds of catching fish and more fish. That way you have higher protein daily, which will increase your productivity in the challenges.
Yeah, I agree with that. It also shows that they're rookies, because veterans would know to take the things that are more long-term sustenance rather than immediate sustenance.
All right. Any other thoughts before we move on to topic 4? Here we go. Which is worse, Katie's feet or Laura Bonham's pot stirring ability? you get to this. Which one should we go for?
Can we do Katie's feet?
Okay. That means you guys have Laura B's pot stirring ability.
I want to say Katie's feet is because, thinking back to what Laura said, she was 100% accurate, and she wasn't stirring the pot rather than just acknowledging what she heard and trying to tell the rest of the tribe what she heard to put other people out there, like, perceptive to possible votes, knowing that she was getting them. So she wasn't necessarily stirring the pot, and with that in mind, Katie's feet were just ridiculous.
Stephanie just made our argument for us. Laura B's terrible at stirring the pot because she wasn't even stirring the pot. Boom.
Oh, you gotta think, too, she's new in the game, and, you know, she probably doesn't know how to stir the pot or anything like that, and I was just watching her thinking, you know, Jesus.
I just don't understand how they put an entire, like, 5-minute segment on Katie's feet.
I have to admit, when I saw the Katie's feet thing, I cringed pretty hard. They were pretty...
She's literally losing toenails. And her feet did look sort of very repulsive, and I think that could have long-term damage, or, you know, long-term effects making her weaker in the game, whereas Laura B, I think she's already at the bottom of the totem pole as far as low as she goes, so I don't think anything she can do can make her lower at this point.
Unless someone gets so angry with her ability to stir the pot that they just punch her. And then that would have long term.
That helps her chances. That person's out of the game.
That's true.
Well, Well, she could do worse. She could quit, you know, but we had enough of that.
Oh, could you imagine what Rupert's reputation if his wife is a quitter?
Oh, God. That would be terrible. He could never run for governor of Indiana again.
All right. So, any other thoughts about Katie's speech or about Laura B's posturing ability?
I just wanted to reach across the TV and just throw a bottle of Tenactin or something.
Yeah, they were all sorts of beat up.
Yeah. And Laura B's talking to the tribe was just so awkward. And when Kat thinks you're awkward, that's pretty
bad. No, but the part that I thought was sad was that Kat was like, she's just saying stuff. And I was like, but she's not. It actually happened. Like, I felt bad for her because she was being completely truthful, but no one was believing her.
Well, the way she went about it, it was so, like, obvious that... Like, hey, guess what happened?
Guess who hates your face?
Alright, next debate. Water slides make entertaining challenges. For or against? Jeff and Chad, you guys get to choose.
Chad, you want to choose?
Yeah, I'd say for, because hey, that looks like fun.
We're against. You guys go.
I'd say water. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
Oh no, please. You please.
Okay, I'd say water slides look a hell of a lot of fun. I would have wanted to do it. Just throw a ring toss thing. Yeah, it looks like fun. Throws things back from my childhood.
All right, here's my rebuttal. While I do think it would be fun to go on, as far as the viewing audience, it is sort of boring just to watch someone slide down a water slide, and that's half of the challenge, and then they have to play ring toss. So while I won't argue that water slides are fun to do, it may not be the most compelling and entertaining challenge to watch them just slide down a water slide.
Yes, David, but my rebuttal is going to prove to you that you're wrong.
Okay.
You never specified in the wording of the question who it was entertaining for. And thus, I think that it makes it entertaining for the competitors. But also, if they had just had them stand there and toss rings, that wouldn't have been a very fun challenge now, would it, for the viewing audience? The water slide definitely added more entertainment to the challenge than was there before.
Interesting. Stephanie?
The only reason why it was entertaining was because Ted Hanna won.
The other time water slides are interesting is if Leaf is on them.
I don't understand why nobody just went ahead and said, hey, I'll just go down head first.
It seemed like it took him a while to figure out the leg strategy to just spread your legs and catch the ring in between them. It took him 3 or 4 tries.
I think there may have even been a rule that you have to sit down and do it, because I would think you have Jervis and Tyson. You think one of those people would be like, okay, I'm going to go down face first, you know?
Yeah. One of them was probably like, I'll start running at the very back of the platform and I'll dive off. I think a way to make that challenge more interesting would have been to have, like, I don't know, Velcro or something, some way to put the ring in the middle of the slide, and if you miss it, then you have to climb back up and go back down, because then you're going to get a lot of exhaustion and things like that. That would have made it more entertaining.
If you saw when they were rehearsing the challenge with the Dream Team, it actually was hanging above them on a string, and you had to grab it in the air and pull it down. But for some reason, when they actually did the challenge, they eliminated that and just set it on the bottom of the slide.
That's weird.
They probably realized that it was too difficult.
Well, and you don't want anyone to jump out too far and then fall.
Yeah, maybe it's a safety concern, too. Alright, next debate. Which was more awkward, Laura M. massaging Aris or Vetus complimenting Caleb on his skin? Stephanie, you get the pick.
Caleb? I don't even remember that. Oh, I remember that scene now.
Are we choosing Caleb?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
And I'm gonna say why.
Yeah.
I was spoiled for this scene because Laura posted a status about it before the episode aired, talking about how, like, the Ares Laura scene, how it's going to be edited to make it look like it's all flirty, but it was really all innocent and blah, blah. So I didn't find it that awkward at all. And then I understood later with her confessional about her bonding with him, and it all made sense. Vita's complimenting Caleb on his skin when he's complimenting a gay guy and, like, flirting with a gay guy. That's just weird.
You call it weird, Vita's calls it strategy.
Alright, you guys make it
normal. Yeah, I found that post awkward too. And you know, I, even though I'm against, I do kind of agree that Laura M. kind of spoiled it, but I didn't. But, you know, the whole back massaging thing I thought was very awkward considering, you know, if you follow Laura M. on Twitter or anything, that she's a married person. But, you know, I can understand that. The massage thing was a strategy kind of thing. It wasn't, and, you know, that's the horrible thing about editing. They make it much more looks than what happened, I'm sure. But.
Yeah, I will say this. To me, when Vetus was, you know, talking up to Caleb, it seemed very obvious that he was, like, sucking up to him and everything. And that made it awkward for me, because I'm like, does Caleb know that he's being this obvious? How can he not know? But he's not really saying anything. He's just thanking him, going along with it. Like, so that's what made it really awkward for me. It's like, to me, it was sort of blatant that he was doing it sort of strategically. But was Caleb able to perceive it that way or not? And it's just sort of, oh, you're trying a little too hard to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, I thought that the Laura massage was pretty awkward. I didn't see that post until after the episode aired, because I have class until 7:30, which is when Survivor airs, so I have to stay off Facebook for a few hours until I can get access to the episode. But, so I didn't see that post until afterwards. I thought it was pretty awkward, just because that was not a back rub. There's a difference between a back rub and, like, a full body, whatever she was doing. I don't think it was, like, intimate or anything. I don't think that is true. It was an awkward thing to watch, especially in the dark, because you have no idea if anyone else is understanding it. And then you have, well, I'm just thinking, if I were there and it's pitch black and all I can hear from Aris is things like, oh, that feels really good, and where did you learn to do that, and things like that, it would be a little bit awkward if I was there. So that's why I think that scene was a bit more awkward.
Yeah, what made it really awkward was Aris's comments to it. Not necessarily the fact that she's massaging, and the whole fact that it was night vision, and that just made it worse too. Alright, moving on to our final debate. We have a sort of, in the previews, it sort of alluded to a tribe switch, a tribe swap. If this is the case, do you think this is a good thing? Are you glad that they're swapping the tribes, or is it a bad thing? You wish they were keeping the tribes the same? Jeff and Chad, which one do you want to go with?
Go ahead, Jeff. That's all you
know. Are we allowed to affirm conditionally? As in, if they do X, then I agree, think it's a good thing? Okay, I would say it's a good thing, but only if they make it so that way pairs cannot be on the tribes together. As we've seen in Survivor's past, tribe swaps often kind of mix things up and add another layer to the game, so that way when it comes to the merge, you have the interesting, you know, am I going to go with my old alliance or my new alliance? But I think that what they should do, and this is my plan, it would be that they would have everyone who's still a pair come up and pick a buff out of a cat or whatever, and, like, one of the buffs is for Tadhana and one of the buffs is for Galong, so that way each pair is split up, and then for everyone else, put all the remaining buffs in a hat, and then everyone who doesn't have a pair picks out of that, so that way it's an even split and pairs aren't together. That would be the only way I think it would be a good thing to do, though.
See, here's the problem with that, Jeff. If you have a situation like that, then you turn it into what could potentially be what I call an All-Stars Amber swap, where only one person ends up switching to the other, you know, tribe or something, and then they're, you know, easy pickoff vote. Because it's theoretically possible to have the same tribes just with one or two. So I'm sort of against this tribe swap thing. I like the tribes where they are. I think they have interesting dynamics. I think it would be interesting to see who gets out on either tribe if they lose. Because I think right now, you know, they saw in the previews that Tyson and Jervis are trying to, you know, maybe dethrone Arif. And I still have no idea if Caleb is truly now in control of the Love Hunts tribe and which side he would go with. So I think the tribes where they are leaves a bunch of possible interesting scenarios that I would like to explore further. I think the swap then prevents them. Could it create new interesting things? Yeah, but I don't think we have a bad thing going right now.
You're forgetting, though, Dave. Sorry, go ahead.
I have to agree with David on that because, you know, this whole blood versus water twist, you know, I loved it from the beginning, and to have a tribe swap and eventually have pairs just ruins it. Now it's not really blood versus water, in my opinion. I think they should just keep it the way it is because it's very interesting. This whole season's been interesting. So why?
Chad, you didn't realize you have the other side of
your team member against you, Chad.
I'm still going to be able to win this debate.
I mean, my whole argument was going to be on why I agree with David because he's my partner, but I feel bad, so I'm going to go with swapping a good idea just to give Jeff some company over there.
Thank you.
Swap a good idea because maybe it will allow Ted Hanna to, like the players on Ted Hanna, to formulate better alliances and allow them to maybe win some other challenges. I agree with the idea of making sure the loved ones are in separate tribes, but it could also be interesting if loved ones are on the same tribe and you have one loved one pair on the same tribe and then you have a bunch of others who aren't paired and they target the loved one pair and then you have one of them go just because they're both on the same tribe. So that could be very interesting as well because there aren't too many pairs left, or the few pairs that are left, it'd be interesting if they wind up on the same tribe and the other people gang up on them and try and break them up.
And I think, David, you're forgetting that having the Amber swap in All-Stars gave us two of the best episodes of Survivor All-Stars.
That's debatable, but okay.
Now, I'm not saying the two best episodes, I'm saying two of the best episodes.
Well, if you're comparing
it... Were there any good episodes of Survivor All-Stars?
If you're comparing it to the episodes after those, then sure. I guess my
favorite episode was... I mean, I would say the first one, but that's not even true, because Tina goes home, although I'm not the biggest Tina fan in the world. But once Rob left, I didn't care about this season anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and the sort of people that you still found interesting, you know, like Colby and Richard, well, they were right out after that, so.
I'm just saying.
I hear what you're saying, and I dismiss it.
Is that your right as an American?
My right as a Survivor fan.
Fair.
All right, well, it is possible that it's not even a tribe switch. Who knows? It could. They could even merge at this point. Who even knows? But it should be interesting to find out. Any other thoughts any of you had on this episode at all? Anything that we haven't talked about that is...
The one thing that we didn't bring up was the... Which I didn't catch, but I watched the episode after the fact. So on the other Shameless Plug podcast that I work on, they... were going to be discussing it, so they were talking about it, and I caught the messages before I watched the episode. Kat was helping Brad win at Redemption Island.
I think the entire returning players tribe was.
But Kat, like, right away was loud and, like, very obvious about it. And I don't know why, like, is that Chuck really so enamored with Monica? Like, it seems weird that they would be rooting for someone on the other tribe to do well, and that the person that they're rooting for to do well could affect their tribe, because they'd be stealing one of their tribe mates and, like, turning them, because I feel like if he comes back, like we talked about earlier, like, Monica is gonna drop whatever she has and go with him. We all know that. So it just seemed weird that they would all be helping him to help her when it wouldn't help them at all if he actually won.
Alright, here's my theory that I think is pretty sound. First of all, as shown on Twitter and everything, Kat and Monica are, like, super tight. I mean, they have the One World connection. Apparently, they got even closer this season, so they're really tight. So, Kat is rooting, essentially, for Monica when she's rooting for Brad, I think. The rest of the tribe, I think it's a case of, we don't want to upset Monica. So, yeah, we'll cheer on, like, they have no loyalty to John or Candace. They don't really like them either. So it's sort of like, yeah, let's cheer on, let's give Monica support. So she thinks, you know, we all like her. She thinks we're supporting her. So that way she's not getting suspicious or thinking anything is up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Kat and Monica have the One World connection. And I'm surprised that we didn't talk about Brad Culpepper. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on him? His behavior at the beginning of the game to end of last episode, going to end of this episode, do you think that he is an obnoxious jerk, or is he just, well, just was originally playing the game? You gotta think he's an ex-NFL player, and he probably went into the game with that kind of mentality. What are you guys' thoughts?
I still don't like him.
I mean, he was a jerk when he was in the NFL, too. I was talking to my debate coach is a big NFL person, and I was telling him that Brad Culpepper was on the season. And he was telling me about how Brad Culpepper used to blame everything on the receivers back when he was a quarterback for the Buccaneers, and would never take the blame for throwing the ball badly. So apparently this is what they expected when they cast him. But yeah, I still think that he's, I don't know, a bit of a jerk. I don't know how better to put it, but...
Now, see, I enjoy watching Brad Culpepper. Now, let me say, I'm not, like, a supporter. Like, I'm not, like, I hope Brad wins the game. I enjoyed watching him. I thought he brought a lot to the show. And I don't think he's as bad as everyone quite has portrayed. I don't think he's a horrible person. I don't think he's done anything really that bad. He's sort of loud and outspoken and can sort of dominate, and other people feel left out because of that. But I don't think he's, like, maliciously attacking anyone or anything like that. So I actually hope he gets farther in the game. I think he brings a lot of entertainment to the season. But at the same time, I'm not rooting for him to win or or do that well in the game.
Well, David, I'm kind of with you with that. I'm kind of a Team Culpepper because Monica, and I'm very biased. I know this might sound stupid, but Monica, back when in One World, she sent me an autograph pick and T-shirt. So obviously, I got to root for the Culpeppers. It's a loyalty thing. I don't know.
That's fair.
I just don't like him, and I don't really want him on my television.
You know, that's so, how I felt about Candace for two seasons.
But not this season? I didn't really like Candace this season that much anyway. Everyone's saying, oh yeah, she's cool, but at the end, I don't know, I thought she held a grudge for too long that wasn't necessary, because most of it she wasn't even a part of.
She held a grudge for voting her wife out, or her husband out.
No, she held a grudge against Monica for voting her out initially.
Oh, that. Yeah, well, I liked Candace a lot more this season than I did the previous two, because I felt like Candace this season actually, like, took some sort of positive action. Like, her last season, she was, like, wouldn't, or her Heroes vs. Villains, like, I don't know if I want to switch, like, she was really wishy-washy, and then she was just really timid about it, like, she wasn't, I don't think she was ever confident in her move to switch, and in Cook Islands, she did it, but then there wasn't any really, anything interesting after it, she just kind of switched and then was there and got picked off, and so, I liked her this season more, because I felt like she had more attitude and was actually, I don't know, I felt like she came more prepared to play the game, and I feel like I would have liked her if she had played the game this time.
Well, that's where you.
I don't know if I would have liked her if she would have played the game, but I know.
I think that's why she was acting that way, because she wasn't playing the game. If she was on a tribe, I almost guarantee you she'd do her same thing of laying low, being nice to people, being wishy washy, being friends with everyone.
That's fair.
Making any.
I was gonna say I agree with David. Like, I don't know if I would have liked her in the game, but I liked her not in the game, and I think that when she's not playing the game, she can show more of herself, and she hides herself in the game because it doesn't make for a very good gameplay. Or at least she thinks it doesn't make for very good gameplay. So I really liked her, because I thought that we saw more of who she really is, the way she acted in this season.
Yeah. I do think she went too far with the flipping off deal, but that's just me.
Apparently, Stephanie was clapping her at that moment.
Oh, see, I actually, I'm in college, so I flip off my best friends. I thought it was a friendly gesture. That was a joke.
That's why you flip me off all the time.
What? What?
He's doing it right now, Stephanie. You can't see.
Clearly.
I always have to edit that segment out of the podcast. When he's like, all right, now we're going to go to the flipping off Stephanie part of the podcast.
Look at the link posted on the page.
Any other thoughts of this episode or season so far?
Who you guys rooting for to win? Just a random question.
Coconut Bandits all the way. I really want to see Jervis and Tyson. I think it would be awesome if they made it to the end together.
Everyone seems to think that it's Aris and Vetus' game to lose. But I really think Tyson has it. He wasn't really in this episode as much, but I don't think that matters.
I would love to see them win. The other person I'm rooting for is Hayden. He was my pre-season pick to win the game, so I think that'd be cool if he could somehow. Right now, he doesn't have the best odds just being from the Loved Ones tribe. And actually, I think being a pair hurts him, because then if there's a merge or switch, people will be like, oh, there's two of them, we have to get one of them out. And obviously, you know, if they're looking for, as far as threats, Kat's a much less of a threat than him. But I'm hoping he can somehow overcome the odds and make a chance.
It would be cool to have a multiple CBS television game show winner.
Yeah.
I think my interpretation of it, I agree with David, but here's how I want it to happen. I want Jervis to get voted out in fourth place and have Tyson in the final three. I don't really care who he's sitting next to. And then I want Jervis to go in this long diatribe about how he feels betrayed by Tyson and about how Tyson has hurt him and hurt their friendship forever. And then at the end just go, and Tyson...
Is he gonna compare Tyson to a waving crab and a tarsier?
Yes. But also, he's going to, at the end, and go, and so Tyson, I know you've been holding this secret the entire game, you used it to betray me, and I want you to come clean to everybody here. And then just have Tyson, like, break down into tears about being a coconut bandit. Just because I think that would be the funniest thing on the face of the planet.
But you know that they would be planned.
No, yeah, that's the... yes, exactly.
That Jervis would be doing this, like, jokingly, and, like, wouldn't actually be mad at him.
I just need Jervis to be a good actor.
Yeah. Sort of the closest thing we've ever had to that is SARS.
Have you seen the Sarkis commercial?
No, I haven't.
Jeff.
Oh, I have seen Jervis' Sunkissed commercial.
And you want him to be a good actor? Like, think of what you're saying.
Oh, my favorite thing is the Nick at Night special that, like, he and Rudy and I think Janet did.
Philip is Silent?
Yeah.
Seeing Kelly.
Kelly, yes. Oh, that was priceless.
I remember seeing that a year, maybe a year or two ago, right when I was supposed to start watching Borneo, or right around when I was going to start watching Borneo. And I was like, really? I don't remember any of this from back when, like, the season.
Haven't you met Jervis?
I met him 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
That wasn't going anywhere, I was just asking.
Yeah, something like that. When I went to the casting hall, I met him.
Cool.
I wonder if he'll be at the one next week. I may or may not go.
Alright, any other thoughts you guys have on this season?
I'm glad Colton is out. That's all I got.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think with him going, and Rupert going, and even Brad being on Redemption Island, I think we saw this episode, like, almost everyone got airtime. Like, it was, you got rid of these scene stealers, as I like to call them, who, you know, hog all the confessionals, and we really got to see, you know, the wide gamut of pretty much everyone in this episode.
Quick quiz, who's
so
the only
person? You want to know what I realize is good about these challenges that seem to take 2 minutes? That there's, so, like, the last time we had Redemption Island season, they showed no camp life and no nothing. And these episodes, like, all they're doing is showing these random camp scenes. And I'm starting to be like, wow, that's really boring. Like, when are they going to get to a challenge? But I like the fact that they're showing all this other interaction that they don't usually show. But then I'm like, what's going on? Like, I'm not used to it.
Jeff, what are you saying?
I was just going to say, quick quiz, who's the only person to not get a confessional this episode?
Tyson.
No, I think he got one. Kat?
No, Kat got one.
Kat got one when
Kat talked to Laura.
Yeah, when Laura was being awkward.
Oh, that's right.
Does Redemption Island count?
Yes.
Then John was the only one.
Nope, John got a confessional.
Did he?
The only person is Jervis! Never nervous.
See, I said Tyson because I thought Jervis did have one.
Nope.
Just been switched around.
Just a fun fact.
Fun fact. Alright, before we guys let you go, we're going to play a game or two, and we call this game Theoretical Survivor Season. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say a theoretical Survivor Season and ask for a cast member or cast members, returning players, who you think would be good on this theoretical or hypothetical season.
What if I don't want returning players?
Talking up with Jeff Probst. Alright, so first one. Survivor rivals. People who were big rivals in an earlier season.
Ooh, I got one. Ooh.
Okay. RC and Abby. Now, RC has sworn that she will never ever go on a Survivor season with Abby again.
But you never said these had to be realistic, did you?
But I agree that
I have one.
Seem to see. Yeah.
Rob Sesternino and Roger.
Good one.
I'm gonna go
with another one.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
They're playing the entire cast of Pearl Island.
Basically a reunion season.
Who in the entire cast?
Fairplay.
Nice. Fairplay and anyone, really. How about Fairplay and Danny Partridge would be my two.
Danny Bonaduce.
Danny Bonnie. Ah! Dang it.
Partridge runs the character he plays.
Fair. I was like, no, I know that's him.
What I would like to see back is Bobby, John, and Jamie from Guatemala.
Ooh. Oh, that would be good. What about Stephanie and Cindy Hall?
John and Margaret.
Go for it.
Shane and Courtney Merritt.
Oh, put them on the same tribe.
Bruce Canaguy and his bowels.
Oh, in that case, let's just put James Clement on with bananas.
No, he loves bananas, Stephanie. He loves them.
So we'll give the other tribe all the bananas.
Joel and Chet would be good.
I think it's James Clement versus his pinky finger.
Versus his limbs.
I got one. Go for it. Philip Shepherd and Brandon Hans.
Ugh. Yeah, Phil and Francesca, and that was last season.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see Brandon back again.
I was just thinking of one. Let me. Oh, Chet and Joel.
I already said that.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
Damn. Or what about Kathy and her finger?
It was the enemy at a certain point. It had to go.
How about Timmy and Alicia from season 2?
Oh, that would be a good one.
Oh, I have an even better one.
Okay.
Daisy Stillman and CBS.
I was thinking Kimmy and the chickens.
No, they were friends. It would be Kimmy and me.
Fair.
Kimmy and me.
Every reward challenge is just me.
Or we could just have Scoop and come back and put a fire on the other tribe.
Or Artis and Scoop, and I guess. They can't stand each other for some reason.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to see Artis back, so.
I agree with you on that.
Alright, let's move on to the next one. Survivor Dynamic Duos.
Jenna and Heidi.
Good one. Gotta go with my Tom and Ian for Palau.
Steven and JT.
That's a tough one.
I have another Rivals one.
Okay.
Ceree and Leaves. Okay, sorry.
Dynamic Duos.
Leaves and
Shambo and the Chickens.
It's good.
Lex and Ethan.
Who'd you say? Lex and Ethan?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
What about Rob and Amber?
That would be a dynamic duo.
If Survivor goes on for long enough, we should have Rob's two children fight it out. Or not. We could just have next season. Two 2-year-olds on the island. I don't see how that could possibly go wrong. Each tribe gets a baby.
Oh my gosh, next season we're totally gonna be Survivor Family Edition.
Didn't we already have a baby on this season that cried and quit? I'm just saying.
Oh, good one.
I don't know if he was quite a baby. I mean, he was a year and a half old.
Let's go with everyone's favorite dynamic duo, Kenny and Crystal.
I was thinking Kenny and Michelle, but
I don't think they were a dynamic duo.
Kenny thought they were.
That would be like Dan Liu thinking that like him and Heidi are together or whatever.
Hey, he had a chance, man. Because if he didn't have a chance, then there's no way in the world that I have a chance.
Dan Liu and Ryan Aiken, such a dynamic duo.
Fair Play and Burton.
That's a pretty good one.
You know who'd be a great dynamic duo?
Who?
Jonathan and Wanda.
Nice. Good one.
Fair Play and his grandmother.
Yeah, Fair Play and his heel.
That would be so terrible. I swear, guys, she's dead. John, she's sitting right there.
Will and no one.
She's a ghost.
Will and no one.
Okay, one tribe will get Lil, the other tribe will get no one. But you have to get, you have to pick your...
Lil on a sourpuss?
Angie and Cookies.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That comic duo there.
Russ Swan and Losing? I don't know.
Can I just think of a hot duo?
Sure.
Pete and Eddie.
Who and Eddie?
Pete.
Oh, okay.
If you were still on the Rivals one, you could do Russ Swan and God.
You could do also Eddie and Reynolds. So that's an actual dynamic duo.
That's, that'd be actually a really good one.
Yeah. Or go old school Greg and Colleen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, I was going to say Rich and Rudy, but that would have been too easy. I thought someone else, I thought one of you guys would have said it.
Or Sean and Dirk. I'm sure that would be the team to make it all the way to the end.
Sean at the Super Bowl.
Sean's just like, Dirk, your name's up next. I don't know what you want me to do.
I'm sorry that you're the first, that you're the first letter in our tribe. But you have a D. I'm sorry. You're going first. I don't care that we're aligned together.
I have a hot duo. Alright, go for it.
Abby and Allie.
That would be a good one.
Abby and Allie?
Allie Pohovitz from Karamoan.
And Abby Maria?
Yeah.
See, I don't find Abby attractive, so...
Wait, wasn't Allie called the less attractive one?
No, Allie was more attractive.
Allie was the non-hot one.
No, no. Stephanie, you don't know how many hours I spent considering this. Allie is the attractive one.
I agree. Allie was very pretty. But, like, on the island, Hope was the, like, beauty queen, and Allie was not. So Hope was the pretty one.
I can't argue with someone who's just that wrong.
Considering I met Allie in real life, and I agree she's a very pretty woman. Like, what do you want from me?
I want you to be right, Stephanie.
I'm always right.
It's just a lie.
All right, next one. Survivor Seniors.
Rudy.
Jeff Probst.
I gotta go with my man Butch from the Amazon.
Oh, in that case, we should put Roger on it, too.
Oh, I was thinking Butch and Michael Scoopin.
Oh, we could put both Rogers on it.
Roger and Roger, that's true.
Roger and Roger. See, Jillian.
What about Jim Lynch?
Good, hopefully he won't break his arm.
I was gonna say, his arm's probably still broken.
Yeah, who else should be on it?
What about Richard Hatch and Chicken?
Oh, that'd be good.
No, this is just seniors now. That's oh, yeah, Richard Hatch and Chicken. I was like, Chicken, what?
Chicken Morris. Yeah.
We should dig up the grave of Phoebe.
Phoebe. And throw Sonya in there so she can be the first out again.
No, maybe she'll win.
That's true. She can't be that much of a liability or tribe of
They Phoebe. Should just end Survivor, like, the last season, bring Sonya back, rig it so that way she wins, and then have, right before Jeff Probst reads the last vote for her to win, she just goes, oh, it's me. And then that just ends Survivor. Because that's how Survivor started and how it ended.
And it just fades to black. It doesn't even reveal the last vote.
Right? It'd be a better cliffhanger than Siberia. That show...
Jack closes his eyes.
Did you guys watch that show Siberia this summer?
No.
Oh, you should. It's a really good show, but it left the first season on a cliffhanger, and there's no indication that there's going to be a second season.
Oh, there's not going to be a second.
There's season, not. Right? Yeah, the ratings were pretty bad. The acting was a little bit over the top, but the story wasn't bad. It was pretty enjoyable. I mean, it's a good way to waste a couple afternoons if you're looking for some time to kill. But I wanted resolution, and they just left it on a huge cliffhanger. I was very upset.
Well, I probably thought there was going to be a second season at first.
Maybe.
Alright, and last one. Survivor annoying people.
Does it have to be former players?
Were you thinking of anyone in this podcast?
I plead the fifth.
Ouch.
How do you know I was talking about you, Stephanie? I have to talk to David every single week.
Yeah, because you're really not talking about me.
So you're talking about me, Jeff?
I never said that.
No, he was talking about me. He's just trying to not admit it.
Alright, well, let's go with some former players, Jeff. Before you get too much in a hole here.
Annoying? Yeah. What did I find annoying?
I don't want to answer
on the season.
My first inductee is Sugar.
Oh, yeah, I was going with Sugar.
I found Sugar annoying.
I found her more annoying on Heroes vs. Villains.
I guess Paloma would be annoying. I have to go with who other people thought were annoying, because I don't find people annoying. Paloma.
Sugar was pretty annoying in season 20.
Yeah. Who else would have been annoying?
Jenna Lewis, season 7.
Jenna Lewis.
Okay, Jenna Lewis.
In general.
Yeah.
In Jenna rule?
Eliza.
It was a pun.
Yeah. Eliza.
That's a good one.
And let's put RC on this season, too.
RC? Okay.
Yes, agreed. I also found Mia from Survivor Vanuatu to be pretty annoying, and Lisa as well.
I don't remember them, so we'll go with that. Can Courtney Mara be on this season as well?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure people found her annoying.
Really?
On people who found other people annoying, then you have to put Scoop in it.
Yeah, and then I think Kat should also be on the season.
No! You take it back. I love Kat.
Oh, me too. I mean, I guess we have to throw Philip Shepherd in there out of obligation.
In that case, we have to put Brennan Hans there too.
I guess so.
I so shine and not put a Hans on the season anymore.
Let's put both Hanses.
Yeah.
I'll throw them all three in there.
Jambo.
Let's see.
Troyzan.
Karen Grodel.
Tarzan was annoying. Not Troyzan, Tarzan.
Jeff. No, Troyzan was more annoying.
Jeff, what did you say?
I said Karen Grodel from Survivor Palau.
Okay.
I do not.
I'd say Lisi from Survivor Fiji was annoying.
Oh, yes. Lisi, yes. Who else can we put on this season? This would be really horrible television. I wouldn't want to watch it.
Dave Cruiser? Survivor China?
I can see that. Jean Robert would be who I would pick.
Okay.
But Jean Robert I can actually bear watching just because it's so ridiculously, hilariously painful.
I do enjoy watching. See, I put Jean Robert and Brad Culpepper in the same category as me. Like, people who...
I actually could watch Jean Robert. I can't stand Brad.
It's fair.
But it could also be that this is a returning player season, and I don't like it in general, regardless of how good it is. Whereas China is just gold.
All right. Well, if anyone doesn't have any more, we will end it there. Thank you guys so much, Chad and Stephanie, for coming back. We always enjoy hearing your guys' opinion on the show, and we had a lot of fun. So thank you guys. Is there anything either you want to plug or promote before we let you go?
No, I just want to thank you guys for having me. I'm horrible at debates, so I apologize about that.
Well, you were fine. I thought you did a great job, Chad. I especially liked it at the end when you sided with me instead of Jeff.
Yeah, that was good. I thought of one more annoying person to add on that chat.
Go for it.
Ed Gondi of that show.
Ah.
But I just wanted to plug, shameless plug, the web show that I filmed this week. everyone should look up some assembly required, the SAP project, and there are videos on YouTube and on Facebook and Twitter, and you can watch me take my head off. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I saw that. I was wondering, how'd you guys do that?
We're magical. But yeah, everyone should go watch it. It's a great little web series, and the director wants to turn it into a big thing, so any support is always welcome. And if you like hearing me and how I podcast, because I know I'm awesome, you should listen to the POS Cast Part 2, which is featured in Previously on Survivor, and we also do one every week.
Yeah, what's up with this there being two POS casts now?
Ours is the real one.
What does that mean? Or isn't yours the new one?
Yeah, but ours is at least, like, acknowledged by people who know who's... is at least acknowledged by the people who participate.
Okay.
And the people who are on it are actually well-known and popular.
Okay. Well, then I choose to support your... POS cast went stepping as the original POS cast, sort of like the different pizza places in New York City.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to withhold judgment until I have a chance to listen.
Well, I'm not on this week because they filmed yesterday and I hadn't watched, or they recorded yesterday and I hadn't even watched the episode yet. But
do you want me to support the other one just so that way it makes them mad? It has revenge.
No.
Okay.
But no, yeah, my show just plugs.
I like to think it this way. We stole Stephanie from her podcast to bring her on ours this week.
You could think of it that way if you want.
But anyways, thank you guys so much again. It was great talking to you, and we will definitely have you on sometime in the future. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Well, there you have it. It's fun talking to them, fun talking to other fans. I thought it was interesting getting their opinions. I thought we covered two sides of a lot of issues that were going on this season, and had some fun with them in the end. So I thought it was good talk.
Absolutely. I enjoy talking to those two.
Except for apparently you find Stephanie annoying.
I never claimed who I thought was annoying. I never even said it was one of you. You inferred that.
Okay, so you're saying that none of us are annoying.
That's not what I said either, David. You're putting words in my mouth.
I'm asking you right now. I'm asking you right now. Do you find any of the three of us annoying?
David, I'm insulted that you would ask me that in such a public forum. This is a private conversation.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm amazing. All right, but we're gonna have lots of guests coming up, some more Survivor guests. We're hopefully going to be having Edna Ma next week. If you hadn't, go online and find her Shark Tank episode. It aired this past Friday. Really good stuff. Watch it and support Edna. And hopefully we will be having her on the podcast in the next couple of weeks to talk about Survivor and her thoughts on the season, as well as what it was like to be in the Shark Tank. So stay tuned for that and more to come. Be sure to check us out on our Facebook page, David and Jeff's Survivor Podcast. Talk to us, leave us comments. We'd love to hear from you. You can also do that on our website, the survivorpodcast.blogspot.com.
Absolutely, and make sure that you check us out on iTunes, David and Jeff's Survivor Podcast, and our Facebook page, also named David and Jeff's Survivor Podcast.
Yes, apparently the Facebook podcast is so important, we promoted it twice, so everyone better sign up.
Indeed. Well, there's some idiots making noise outside of my dorm room, so I couldn't tell if you had said it or not.
Oh, it's okay. Those are the people you find annoying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're on the podcast, thus, yeah. I find people on the podcast annoying. Notice I say people, potentially more than one.
I'm glad we solved that mystery at the end there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.